Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. And hopefully, amen. There he is. Amen. He was on the air with me tonight. Amen. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into this word. We got an hour and a half. Amen. Bring you the gospel and the good news. Amen. This is good news and good tidings. Amen. That we are,
amen.
We are soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Amen. Amen.
Soon
now I understand. I understand what the old saints were singing. Amen. Those old hymns, they were singing about going to be with the Lord. Amen.
That's
going
right.
to be with
That's
our
right.
Heavenly Father, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. It's a blessing to be here, brother. Amen. Amen. It's a good feeling. It is a blessing to be here with so many things happening in the world. We are praying for you. We're praying for the lost, the ones that are lost in this world. So many people lose their lives. And, you know, I think, brother, what's so amazing is that I don't know how many people die per day now, but I know many, many years ago I looked it up online and said like somewhere between 150 to 200,000 people lose their lives per day. Now, that's what they say now. We don't know if that's more or less, but I'm quite sure that's about right, because there's about 7.5 billion people on the planet, and that's a lot of people. 100,000 people to leave this world, and to think that a small percentage of that number is going to heaven. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a fact. So many people losing their lives, young and old, and we must continue to pray for this lost world as we stay. Amen. We want as many souls to reach the kingdom, to get into the kingdom before it's too late. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Today, we're going to talk about some salvation. But before we get into salvation, we're going to come from Revelation. We're going to talk some in Revelation. Amen. I want to go, I'll probably touch on the world powers is probably what I'm going to be touching on today. We see some of the things that are going on. The United Nations, the nations of like America, the United Nations, which is the European nations.
Yes.
And also Japan. They're trying to get Russia, Putin, to stop doing what he's doing. And we said this before. You heard the watchman on the wall say it. You heard me say it. He's not going to stop. He can't stop. Because he has an agenda. He has something that he is trying to do. So he will not, he won't stop. Amen. He's going to continue to attempt to reach his goal. Amen.
All right.
You know, burying and just controlling Ukraine so that he can reach other goals. Amen. So he's not going to stop. The sanctions are not working. He's far past sanctions. I mean, if you was talking about before he started the war, before I think it was February 22nd of 2022 when he started the war, if you would have talked about sanctions that winter before that, going into the spring of last year, talked about sanctioning him, or even a few years ago, but you know it's hard to tell because no one really foresaw this soon that Russia was going to do that. Amen.
Right.
And so they didn't even know. It was just a thing to where they had been wanting the United Nations and the U.S. to back up from the borders. And the fact that the U.N. kept trying to push for Ukraine to join the United Nations, Russia said, you know what, we're not having it. You guys are up to something. You're already on our borders. You're already spying on us. And they just started, you know, they just, you know, just went to war.
Yeah.
Now have been at war. Listen to this. This is amazing. I didn't even think about this until, you know, just recent. Have been at war with Ukraine for now over a year and almost a half. That is really something to think about.
Yes, sir.
You think about March, April, May, June, July, and August will be a year and a half And I don't foresee him stopping. They're talking about they're talking about sanctioning him. They're talking about the way China trade deals. You know, again, we are staring at World War III. The world is staring at World War III.
Yes, it
is. I can foresee China's not going to continue to have these nations to continue to say things to them, because Russia's already, I mean, not Russia, China is already looking at the United States as far as war.
Yeah.
Because they no longer want the United States to tell them anything. And you have to kind of understand. Now, I'm not saying anyone's right or wrong, but you have to kind of understand how they see things. America has called the shots, and Europe has called the shots for many years, but yet they have not been just. They have not been right. And so it is wrong to do wrong, but then want to tell another nation how to run their nation, especially when you have large nations like China, and China saying we will no longer have it. Amen? So you also have America is trying to turn the African countries to their side. It's not happening. Some of the African countries have already joined the BRICS, which is their currency. They have joined their currency. And so you see that that's probably more likely going to hurt the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar
is
already hurt. You know, they're squabbling in D.C. Over money. They're giving out, and this is crazy, giving out billions of dollars that we already don't have to Ukraine. We got people down here at the border down here in Texas, and, man, they are trying to get in. They're doing it, and now they're talking about sending troops down there to regulate those. First, the troops were just there just to kind of support, as they say. Now they're getting to the point to where they have to regulate, because you have so many people that's already coming in. They're already letting so many people in. They don't have nowhere to house these people. Somebody made a comment online and said that they need to send them to the states where there's hardly any people, like states like Idaho and what's the other states up there, the other two states, the sister states. You got Idaho. What's the other one, brother? They're up about Idaho. Let me see. I can't think of that.
North Dakota
and South Dakota. And since hardly any people in them states anyway, just send them all up there, which they do have a point. If you're going to bring them in, don't allow them to come to areas that's already struggling financially and overpopulated. I know down in Dallas, Houston, Texas is you know, we're being just flooded with people from California, Florida, you name it. They're coming from everywhere. And when I was in Dallas over a year ago, it was so many different license plates. I'm like, Lord, everybody's moving to Dallas. Everybody's moving to Houston. And what people are finding out is what we've been knowing. There's oil there. There's oil money. It's just Texas. There's money in Texas. There's jobs and opportunities. There's space in Texas. Housing. Housing has always been what we consider cheap compared to other states. You can get good jobs and cheap living. That has changed since 2020. Since so many people, they say over 500,000 people have come here from California to Texas. That's a lot of people.
Come on now.
Especially within a short period of time. We get it. We understand. You know, we're not saying that people are not welcome. Amen. Pray for the nation. Pray for these leaders that are making these decisions, because a lot of these decisions are hurting the people of America. We are hurting here. Yet we are supporting other nations, and we're not saying let them be, but we're saying let some of these other countries spend their money, you know, because, as I said before,
America has
always been a cash cow. That's what it is. It's a cash cow to Europe, to the so-called government city, the papacy, the apostate system, which is, we know what that is, the Pope, amen, Rome.
We know that
they have been ruling, amen. I'm going to let the brother say a prayer in a minute. We're going to come back and get into some teaching. They have been ruling behind the curtains for thousands and thousands of years. The Roman Catholic Church has been ruling and telling the world what to do. Why? Because they have been in control of the system.
Come
That's
on now.
And
yeah.
it don't take a large amount of people or large leadership. Amen. To run.
Amen.
What
Amen.
You have to understand is the people who are in control, this has been passed down thousands of years. Thousands of
yeah.
years of bloodline of secret societies.
Come on, preacher.
Come on now. Talk to me now.
Tell the truth.
Thousands of
Tell
years.
The truth.
And this is what it is. And you say, well, how is only a handful of families, 13 families, only a handful of people able to run the world? Because of Lucifer. They have access to the god of this world, the prince of this
Come
world.
Come on now.
Adam and Eve gave up that control back 6,000 years ago in the garden, has given that control to Lucifer. And since the time of the beginning, the worship of Lucifer wasn't as organized back during the time of Noah and Enoch. It wasn't as organized.
Come on.
It
Come
existed.
On.
It existed, but it wasn't as organized. I was reading my little book on the true Babylon and how I was learning some things about Nimrod and his parentalship and how his dad, how he learned things. Amen. We're talking about the Hamadic.
Amen. Amen.
How he learned things and how he created this Babylonian system. So we're going to get into that tonight. We're going to get to the brother, say a quick word of prayer. Brother, go ahead, and I'm going to take
over. All right.
Just
thank the Lord for this opportunity.
Go ahead.
Thank you for this day. Thank you for the word of God, realizing the gospel will be preached. We thank you, brother, for working on in here. We work together and try to tell the world, whoever may want to listen, that Jesus Christ is coming again. And as we get into prayer, we want you to settle down and listen to what the word of God says, because the Bible says, how can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach unless God sent him? And I know God sent Brother Tim. Yeah, Brother Tim and Brother Bazaar to preach the gospel. That's what we're going to do. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Realizing there's no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved in the name of Jesus. We know it. At the name of Jesus, every knee going to bow, every tongue can confess. Lord, as we work with your word, as we rightly divide your word, that somebody may be able to understand what thus says the Lord. Because we know that we're living in the last days. It's almost got to come to a close. Lord, we're going to preach with power, preach with love, preach with mercy and goodness. And we're going to preach with wrath as far as God is not pleased. He's not pleased with man, the way he's going on in the world today. And we're going to let you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. In Jesus' name, we thank you. And that's our prayer for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, brother, go for it.
Amen. Thank you so much, brother, for that prayer. Amen. I want to call your attention before I start in Revelation 1. I want to call your attention to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. Amen. The 30th chapter, verse 7. Again, the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, verse 7. About this last week. And I must read it. It says, Alas. For that day. Amen. Is great. Amen. For that day is great. So that none is like it. What was Daniel talking about? What was Christ talking about when they referred to this day? This is known as Jacob's trouble. Amen.
Amen.
But God was saved Jacob, amen, out of it. Amen.
Yes, sir.
If you recall back during the children of Israel when they went into the captivity into the land of Egypt, and when the Pharaoh who knew Joseph died, and when Joseph died, that the Israelites no longer had favor under the new Pharaoh. In fact, the new Pharaoh was intimidated by them. He looked down on them. He looked down on them as herders, as sheep herders, as less than them. And because their numbers grew so large, he kind of, you know how sometimes people just fear things for no reason. I don't believe that the children of Israel would have imposed on them in a manner of violence, I don't believe. I believe that they were a peaceful people, as their father Jacob was. He displayed peace. But for some reason, the Pharaoh, because the children of Israel grew so large in numbers, he felt some type of way about it. So he said, well, we got to do something about this. So he enslaved them. And if you know, just to make it short, how God freed the children of Israel out of Egypt. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
Amen. He saved them out of Egypt. God has a way of delivering his people. Amen. And
amen.
So I want you to think about this. Again, we've talked about this several times. That who is this in verse 7 of Jeremiah, the third chapter, is he referring to? He's referring to the children of Israel. Now, remember, this is not the church. The church was engrafted. So the church is not considered Jacob, Israel.
Come
amen.
On now. Come on.
The church is engrafted. Amen. We was, in other words, we was adopted into the family. And God said, because you are adopted, you are just like my son. Amen. But he still loves Jacob. Remember what Paul said. If Israel be lost, Jacob will not what? Lose his reward. Amen. So what does that mean? Amen. Because if you are the children of Israel, they rebelled against God so much. Not all of Israel, but most of Israel would not follow God. Don't that sound familiar? Don't that sound familiar how the world is, how narrow is the gate,
sir.
And straight is the way? Amen. So many people will go into destruction, but only a few shall be saved. That's how it's always been. Amen. The children of Israel would not obey. Amen. But there was always those who would obey and do the will of God. Amen. So we see that after the church is gone, 2,000 years, the time is almost up that the church is what? Going home to heaven. Amen. That's what Paul talked about when he said, in the times and seasons, I need not write unto you. In other words, I need not have you worry. We are the church. We are going to be out of here. Amen. That's what Paul was saying. That's what Paul's referring to. That we don't need to worry about because we will not be here when? For the great tribulation. No need for you to worry yourself. And as this day should come what? As a thief in the night. The warning was to those who were lost and those who were in the church who had not yet gotten it right. Does that sound familiar? Just because you were born of the house of Israel, you still needed to serve God. You still need to be obedient to the commandments and to the will of God. But there were so many that did not. And we know that anytime that when you don't do what's right, God will purge you out. That's what he did. He purged them out.
All right.
Amen. And he's going to do the same thing, amen, at the very end during the time of Jacob's trouble during that last 3.5 years because why?
Yes, sir.
The
you
Antichrist
got it,
is going to
get
mad. He's going to pursue God's people. Now, most of them will be saved. Amen. Some will not be saved. But those are going to be the ones who are going to finally realize who they are. Amen. But you know how some folks are.
Amen.
Just like Lot's wife, she was part of the family. She was part of the chosen. God had chose Lot's wife as well as Lot and his two daughters to leave safely. God's going to always give you a way out. Amen. But what did Lot's wife do? Lot's wife decided to turn around and look back. There was something that she could not let go of in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And because she could not let go of the world, she paid with her own life. Amen.
Yeah.
And we know that this has always been the case. Amen. With the children of Israel, with people now today in the church. Amen. And with Jacob as well. Amen. So
come
we just want to make you aware, amen, of the scriptures. So now with that being said, I want to go ahead and take a look at Revelation, the first chapter. I was just looking over some things earlier this week. And what I want you to be aware of in Revelation 1, let me go over it real quick. Let's just go ahead and read Revelation 1. Then I'm going to go ahead and go into it.
Okay,
turn over to the brother. All right. Amen. I got about almost 10 minutes. Amen. Revelation 1. Amen. If I can get that. Bear with me. There we go. There we go. Revelation. Revelation 1. Revelation, the first chapter, first verse says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So, as you see, that the time of Christ's return is what? It's unknown. Amen.
All
so
right.
Make sure we understand that. It is unknown, and we're going to deal with that in a little bit. And but we know he is what? Yet to return. We know that we don't know the day or the hour, but we do know that he is what? He is going to return to get the church. That's important that we understand. He's coming back. He wrote it to John to give to what? The seven churches. Remember, we're not dealing with Jacob, amen, Israel. We're dealing with the engrafted Israelites, which is us, the church. We are engrafted. We have been adopted into the faith, amen. Thank the Heavenly Father
amen.
For his adoption and accepting us as his children. Because why? We get to also partake. Now watch. I don't know if you ever noticed this, but do you know that when you are adopted into a family, most cases that family treats you just like what? Just like you on their own. They had you
yes,
you were a baby, day one from the hospital. You went home with them. They loved you. They feed you just like the other kids. Amen. They treat you like the other kids. You got a room just like the other kids. You got stuff in the room just like the other kids. And you got a roof over your head, and they love you just the same. Amen. You don't even know.
Yes,
you don't even know.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I want you to
amen.
Know that is our position as a church. You don't even know that you've been adopted, but you have. Amen. You've been adopted.
Amen.
We thank the Most High God for his love, his grace, and his mercy. Amen. For adopting us into the faith. Now, I want to call your attention to Revelation, the 22nd chapter. 22nd chapter. Amen. I'm going to do a huge jump from the very first of Revelation to the very last of Revelation.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. Verse 7. Watch what John wrote. This is Christ speaking. He said, behold, I come what? Quickly.
Quickly.
Quickly. Amen. A moment in the twinkling of an eye. He's coming back. Amen. He said,
amen.
Right. So now he's dealing back with the church again. Hey, behold, I come quickly. Final warning. Wake up. Quit playing games. Get right, church, and let's go home. Remember that old song? See, I'm telling them, old school saints, they knew what time it was. They said, get right, church, and let's go home. I never understood what that meant. I was a young man. I didn't know what that meant. Get right, church. What they talking about, get right, church? My daddy's always seen that in church when I was a kid. I didn't know what they talking about. Get right, church, and let's go home. That's what he said. Amen. Get right, church. Let's go home. Come on, man. You going to church?
Let's go.
Ain't no need you just looking like the church. We need you to be the church. Amen. We don't need you to be the church. It says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the
prophecy of this book.
Amen. That's what the scriptures say. Amen. We got to keep the prophecy of this book. So if you go over to Revelation, the third chapter, real quick. Amen. Revelation,
third chapter.
I want you to take a look at this. Amen. I want you to take a look at Revelation, the third chapter, verse 10. And then I want you to jump. We're going to jump over to Revelation, the third chapter, 15th verse and the 16th verse. Because why? This is important. Christ gave John to give this message to us. Me and the watchman on the wall, Elder Bazaar, will bring you this message. We're letting you know that Christ sent the warning, that he gave it to John. And John signified it through the angel to the seven churches to write to the church what is going to happen, the return of Christ. Amen. Though it is unknown, it is to happen what? Soon. And we know right
soon.
Now as we speak, it's going to happen soon. It's coming quicker than what you think. Amen. Nobody knows the day nor the hour, but we know that it's coming soon. Now watch what it says in Revelation 3 and 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. So if you go back over to Revelation 22 and 7, and remember what he said? He said, blessed is he that keepeth the saying of this prophecy of this book. So what he's saying is because you have kept. Now remember, he's talking to the church, not those who are the Israelites. He's talking to the church. He said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. See, now that word kept is past tense. So because you have done what is right, because you have confessed with your mouth, you believe in your heart, You go to church, you read your Bible, you study the word, you show love to everybody, you treat everybody with love, amen. You deal with things, you go through the trials and tribulation of life,
yes, sir.
Amen. But you are walking with Christ, amen. He says, I also would keep thee from the hour of temptation.
Come on.
We shall come upon all the world. See, this is why we know this is referring to the tribulation. And how people say that the saints will go through the tribulation has been a mystery to me for years. I don't get it, never understood it, and don't need to understand. But I know that that's not right. Because how do we know that it's talking about the tribulation? Number one, you know that you can't have revelation without the what? Tribulation. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Let me
yes,
say
sir.
You can't have revelation without tribulation. That's how
tribulation.
We know that Christ is referring what he's pointing to as a future time of the what? Great tribulation that shall come upon what? All of the world. See, if you it could have been during the time of the seventh, back during John's time, because you want to know why? The world didn't have the connection that it has today. Amen. The world wasn't going to and fro with knowledge back during the time of Daniel or Christ or John as it is today. Today, amen, we know the world is going to and fro. Amen. I'm about to get it turned over to you, brother. Give me knock out a few more men. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So then it says, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, watch this. We know what is this referring to. What did I tell you about over in Jacob? Jeremiah, the 30th chapter,
Jacob's
verse 7.
Yes, sir.
Hey, the time of Jacob's trouble. We know what he's talking about. Amen. He said, alas, amen. What did he say? For that great day, for that day is what great? What great day? Amen. The seven-year tribulation, but especially the time that's known as what? Jacob's trouble. The last three and a half years, which is the great tribulation. What's going to happen? First, see, this is how we know it's the great tribulation, what he's talking about in that great day. Well, how do we know he's talking about the last 3.5 years? Because the Antichrist, the first 3.5 years, what he going to do? He going to sign a treaty with Israel. Israel going to think they got
it going on.
Oh, man, we good. We protected. We in good hands. You know that old commercial he said, you in good hands with all states. But they going to think they in good hands with the Antichrist. But that ain't going to be the case. What's going to happen is the Antichrist, after the first 3.5 years, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Amen. He's going to turn his back. Amen. He's going to sit in the temple and declare himself what? God.
Wow.
And that's when it's going to be 3.5 years. And
last 3.5 years,
they say, oh, we know what? Then he's going to renege on that agreement. Then he's going to go after the children of Israel. Oh, there you go.
Oh,
now, what's
going to
happen in heaven? Them veils, amen, we know that Christ is going to unleash. Amen. On earth,
yes, sir.
Judgment and punishment on this earth, on the wicked, on those who, because we know the mark of the beast, we know what the Antichrist is going to say. He's going to say, you're going to have to receive the mark of the beast, the AI. You
yeah,
got y'all seen what they're able to do, the AI chip. The AI is so powerful.
Come on.
The AI is so powerful. They got this stuff connected to chips. They got this stuff that one girl was bragging about. She was an Asian woman. She was bragging about how she got the chip and got her ID. She don't need no credit card. She don't need no bank card. She don't need none of that stuff. It got all, she don't need no driver's license. It got all that stuff on this little chip that's in her hand. I said, Lord, look at that. The world don't know what we're
headed. Look at that. Look at it.
Playing games, planning vacations, planning fish fries in church and church anniversaries. They ever plan. And they just don't know. We are getting closer and closer.
We're
and closer.
Closer, brother.
Amen. 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 I'm going to see what time it is. All right, brother. Go ahead. I'm going to come back. I'm going to touch some more on Revelation.
All right.
I'm going to come back.
All right.
I'm going to touch on
God.
That
this
apocalypse, the unveiling.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead,
Bob. We're getting ready. We're trying to prepare for those that's in the church. We're trying to prepare the church, and we want the church to go tell the world. We want them to know this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's almost about to split the sky. And he's going to split the sky for the church. In other words, when Christ comes back, amen, he's going to rapture. He's going to catch up. He's going to remove the born-again believers. The born-again believers are those that have repented of their sins and confessed with their mouth and believe with our heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and now we are born again believers by faith. By faith ye are saved, not by works, by the grace of God, not our own but the works that Jesus Christ did absolutely on Calvary's cross is the only thing can save you. Not looks, not your money, not your fame, and not your glory. And the brother's hitting on something there that's really, really fantastic, and that was the time of Jacob's trouble. And he exactly right. That would happen in the latter part of the 3.5 years where Israel will suffer, amen, the hand of the Antichrist. And it's going to be like the time of Jacob's trouble, which refers to Jacob and Esau. Esau was trying to get rid of his brother, amen, because Jacob took his inheritance and he sold his birthright. And Esau was heavily after him, and he had 400 men, and Jacob only had 70, and he was going to wipe out the whole family of Jacob. But God saved Jacob out of that calamity. And the same way, in the latter part of the 3.5 years, when the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the old dragon, the old Beelzebub, Lucifer, all these names, of 35 names, the Bible gives the name of Lucifer, what he is. He's a tempter, he's a destroyer, he's a robber, and he's a liar. And he's out to do what? He's out to destroy those that what? He don't have. The ones that he don't have is the ones that's been born again. The ones he have, he ain't worried about it. But the ones he have on his own power and under his own influentiality, he's trying to keep them from recognizing the word of God. Apostle Paul said, preaching of the cross. Preaching of the cross to those that perish, those that's going to hell, is foolishness. People who consider the cross foolishness, they're on their way to hell. Because preaching of the cross is the power of God into salvation. Preaching of the cross is the only salvation that men's souls can be saved. You cannot be saved by any other salvation but the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way. So Satan says, if I can get those that I don't have and keep these that I already have, I can control the world. But you know something? He's fool enough to control it, although he can't condemn everybody, because a lot of people are getting saved right now. A lot of people are dying, going to hell, because they rejected Jesus Christ. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised the next day. Now, I tell you, the one thing you ought to do, you ought to consider your soul. Think about your soul.
Right.
Check your soul. Look at your soul and ask God, Lord, this soul is yours. This soul is yours, and I know I got it, but it's yours, and my soul needs to be saved, S-A-V-E-D. You need to come to Christ. We need to come to Christ. We are absolutely living in the last days, just before the return of Jesus Christ. The time of Jacob's trouble is not far away. And the time of Jacob's trouble is when the world will come under the full influence of satanic power. I know Satan has majority of the world lost. I know he's trying to control the world, and he will have an opportunity to control it for about 7 years, and the last 3.5 years he will have full control. He will have power over the economical system, over the religious system, and over the political system. And the brother mentioned about the Illuminati. You know who's running the world today? The Illuminati. The Illuminati are wicked, wicked people who are going under the influence of Satan, trying to use Jesus as their scapegoat, but actually they are demonic demons that's controlling humanity. Check the Bible. The Bible says every man, every baby that's born, every child that's born, every individual that's born is born in sin, born lost, lost, don't know who God is. You want to know what is a sinner? A sinner is a person who don't know God. I ain't talking about head knowledge. I'm not talking about a good feeling. I'm not talking about something. I'm not talking about the money. I'm not talking about the clothes you wear. That's no sign of true salvation. The only true salvation that you can acquire is the Bible says, you know that you have passed from death to life because you love the brethren. That means that you love the world just like God loved the world. He don't love the activity of the world, but he loved the human beings of the world. And if you've been born again, you love every human being on this planet. And the only way Amen. You can love every human being on this planet is through the power of Jesus Christ. Because God Amen. Loves everybody. Uh-oh, wait a minute. You mean to tell me when you get saved, you love everybody? You better believe it, brother. You love the black man, the white man, the Chinese, the Jews, the Russians. Amen. You love them. Why you love them? Because God loves you. And if God loves you and saved you by his grace, everybody else that wants to go to heaven, wants to see Jesus, wants to live forever, going to have to come to Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ saves your soul, guess what he receives? You receive the love of God. If a man That's say right. he loves God. If a man say he loved God, if a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he is a liar. You cannot right, love God is. And hate your brother. Uh-oh, wait a minute. You mean to tell me there's a lot of people out there going to hell because they talking about they love God and they hate their brother. You can't
That's
hate
right.
I don't hate the Ku Klux Klan. I hate that ideology. I don't hate the white man. I don't hate the black man. I don't hate the Jew. I don't hate nobody on this planet. What I hate Amen. Is the ideology and sin and debauchery that they're worshiping false God. I hate false right. God. I want them to know the true God. And the true God is the one that created the heavens and the earth. The true God right. is a lie. The true God has no beginning and has no end. The true God is the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The true Amen. God is the one that came down here in the flesh and gave himself a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. The true God is God Almighty in the flesh, all in the flesh. He was born as a child, but he was given to the world as a son. And when he was given to a son, there's something that had something about that giving that son. What you mean? If he gave a son, that means that son is eternal. That son was not born. Right. That son was given. And since it was given, it's showing the deity of Jesus Christ. And the child was born. And when that child was born, he was laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Well, who was that? That was God Almighty. I'll take a pause there. That was God Almighty in the manger. That was Christ. That was God in the flesh. He was born and he stayed on this earth 33 1/2 years. And guess what he did? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He walked on the water, turned the water to wine. He fed 5,000 with two fishes and two bottles of bread. He healed anything that came in his way. He healed people when people just touched him. He did all these miracles. But if he wouldn't have died for the sins of the world, the whole world would go to hell because there was no sacrifice. Oh, yes, they did. They used animals and turtle doves and goats in the Old Testament, but that was a type of shadow. That was to let you know that some blood had to be shed that had power enough to save man, that had power enough through the Holy Spirit to live in man. And Jesus Christ was the only man that died and came back from the grave and shed his blood. And when he shed his blood and came back from the dead, he had power enough to what? To live in man. Listen to what I'm saying. Live in man.
Amen.
Jesus Christ lives in me, walks with me. Tell me that I'm on. How could he do that? He died. He died as a man. He died as a human being. But it was God in the flesh. And by him dying as the physical death, that physical death gave him power enough to resurrect himself from the dead. And when he was resurrected from the dead, only one man could do that. Only one deity could do that. Only one God could do that, and that was God Almighty. And since he was God Almighty, now the fountain is open. The blood has been shed, and now the sun has to come below the flow. And when that blood is shedded in his heart, oh, my God, woo, you're talking about a change. He can take a old whoremonger. Old whoremonger. You know what a whoremonger is. A whoremonger is a fella, amen, that's whoring out the women. He sells the women.
Amen.
He goes with the women. He gives his body over to them. That's a whoremonger. He's a skirt chaser. And we got a whole lot of them in churches. Did I say that? Yes, it's happening. We got a whole lot of liars. We got a whole lot of backbiters. We got a whole lot of gamblers. We got a whole lot of drug addicts. We got a whole lot of homosexuals and lesbianism. We got a whole lot of incest sin that's going on in the world. Don't you know Jesus Christ died for that? And he became what you are. And by him becoming what you are, you can be set free from sin, death, hell, and the grave. Oh, you don't have to go to church to get saved. You can get saved right there in your living room. You can get saved down in your bedroom. You can get saved down there. Oh, my God, you can get saved in your basement. The only thing you've got to do is confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead to save what? Oh, wretched sinner like me. And when you get saved from sin, you're going to tell somebody. You're going to let the world know that I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm living for God. Don't you know Jesus Christ is coming back? Don't you know he's been gone for 2,000 years? Don't you know every 2,000 years something happened? Don't you know from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years? Don't you know from Abraham to Jesus Christ for 2,000 years? And don't you know from Jesus Christ to now, today, 2023, it's 2,000 years? Don't you know the timing for Jesus Christ to come back is any time? Woo, this year? This year, not next year. I'm not looking at next year. I'm not making no predictions because I don't know what hour. I don't know what day, but I do know the sign. I do know the reason. I do know the season. I do know it now because let me tell you now, the next feast day that's coming up, that's going to be this year, is in June. What's that feast day? That feast day is known as the Feast of Pentecost. The Pentecost is the feast day that represent the birth of the church. The church was born on Pentecost. Jesus Christ sent the Holy Ghost back from heaven after the 40 days on earth and then the 10 days in heaven. On the 50th day, he sent the power of the Holy Ghost, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they all was filled with the Holy Ghost. And when they came out with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak in other tongues so the other nations could understand what they were preaching. Well, what were they preaching? They were preaching Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died and rose again, and that they was coming back again to get a church. And that was in the early church. And in the early church, they thought Jesus Christ was coming back just after the birth of the church. But it's been 2,000 years. It's been a long time. It's been a lot of months. It's been a lot of years. It's been a lot of days. It's been a lot of seconds. It's been a lot of minutes and seconds and hours.
Right.
But let me tell you, we're at the end of the time because the next Pentecost is coming up. It's May the 28th. May the 28th will be Pentecost. And that Pentecost represents the birth and the incision of the church. That's when the church was conceived. 120 people were saved on that day, and from that day, 3,000 were saved in the same day that they were saved, and they began to preach the gospel until 2023. What you talking about? A lot of people say, well, I'm Pentecost, I'm Baptist. Well, I'm all of them, because number one, the name of the denomination don't make you saved. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. It takes the love of Jesus Christ. It takes the redemption plan of Jesus Christ. It takes the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It takes him coming back again. To get what? A blameless church. A church that's ready to go. I'm ready to go, Paul. I'm ready to go. I ain't holding back nothing.
Come on, buddy.
And this Pentecost is coming up. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give it over to the brother. This Pentecost is coming up. Represent the birth of the church. Now, I believe it. This is me now. It's not in the scripture, but I believe on the day of Pentecost, I believe there's going to be a ground-to-ground war breakout. I believe that. Now, if it don't happen, hey, but I do know that there's a war going on right now in Jerusalem there are six nations bombing Israel around the clock every day. And Israel is getting tired of bombs falling on them, and they're preparing for a ground force to go into Gaza and wipe these missile sites out. I believe the heathen nations and Hamas got a plan to make an attack up on Israel on the day of Pentecost, because they know that the day of Pentecost was the birth of the church, and they know that the Jews are in what? They're in about Jesus Christ. The Hamas is in about destroying. And I believe on that day they will try to make a ground attack, but Israel is going to be ready for them. And this is what? This is the fifth feast day that's been fulfilled and going to be fulfilled. And I'm going to close with these two. The next three. Mm-hmm. The next three is the Day of the Trumpets or Feast of the Trumpets. That happens in September. September is the Feast of the Trumpets. The Feast of the Trumpets represents the rapture. Oh, yes, it does. It represents the rapture of the church in September. I know you're startled. I know you said, I can't believe it. I know you've been talking about it for the long last 57 years. Y'all been talking about this rapture. But let me tell you, we're in a time now that they tell me the Feast of the Trumpets is the next feast day. And after that feast day, 10 days later, it's called the Feast of Yom Kippur. The Yom Kippur represents the second coming of Jesus Christ. It represents the earthly return of Jesus Christ when he comes back on the top of the Mount of Olives on Yom Kippur. That would be 7 years after the rapture. Oh, look here. 7 years after the rapture. Amen. That's the seven-year tribulation on the Yom Kippur. Jesus Christ will be standing on this earth because he's going to split the sky and come back with the church and judge the Amen. World in righteousness. And then you have the Feast of Tabernacle that represents the millennium reign, because when Christ comes back from heaven with the church, he's going to settle the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. That's how it works. God is a God of what? Order. And God does things in order. And every feast day has been fulfilled except three, because it makes it seven feast days. Seven years of tribulation and seven feast days, seven candlesticks, seven angels, seven bowls, seven seals. Oh, man, that seven is awesome. That seven is awesome. Yeah. And guess what? We'll get ready to enter the next feast day. Will be Feast of what? Feast of Pentecost, the birth of the church. 4 months later, Feast of Harvest, which is the Feast of Trumpet, when they end gathering. The September is the day and the month that people go in their gardens and they begin to gather up their fruit that they have been growing for the last 4 months. It's four growing months of seasons, and there's 2,000 years growing months of the church. Now the church is almost ready to be harvest. In other words, God said, I almost got my church, but I got a few more to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and I got a few more months for growing season. And when the growing season is over, guess what? Feast of Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets. My friend, Jesus Christ is coming. Don't let nobody fool you. You're not going to hear this in the church. You're not going to hear this from preachers, not in some churches. They don't even know nothing about this. They don't even see this. They're scared to get into this. But I've been in it for 57 years. And brother, what you call, been in it for 25 years, 27 Amen. Years. I know he's up there. And he's been preaching the same thing, the Feast of Trumpets, after the Feast of Pentecost. So get ready. Get ready for a war that's coming up in the next three to four months. Get ready for a war, and that war will break out. And when it break out, it's going to break out to World War III. And World War III will come to a head in Ezekiel, the 38th and 39th chapter of what? of Ezekiel. That's when Russia makes an attempt to conquer the Middle East. And the church will not be here.
Amen. Come on.
Gone. We will be gone. We will be observing earthly affairs when we get to heaven. We'll see exactly what the word of God said was going to happen. And those that will be left here will have to face the Antichrist. And the Antichrist will rule the world. And this is the last time Satan will have an opportunity to try to conquer the world. Hitler tried it. Mussolini tried it. All the dictators of the world have tried to conquer the world. And Satan said, I got one more opportunity. And guess what? Majority of the world, sad to say, majority of the world will follow the Antichrist. Not that God predestinated you to go to hell, but because you made the wrong choice. You like
That's
the
right.
party. You like the peek-a-boo. You like the jigga-jigga-loo. You like all that old worldly matters. You like to have fun, like money. You like sex. And you said, I ain't got time to repent of my sins. I'm going to go and do what I want to do. But one thing about it, don't wait too late. Because if you miss the rapture, you will definitely have to face the Antichrist. And if you face the Antichrist, you're going to have a choice. Either you can accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or you reject Jesus Christ and accept the mark of the beast. Once you get the mark of the beast, once you put that computer chip in your wrist or in your hand or on your forehead, once you get it, you're damned. You cannot be saved. So don't take the mark. If you be left here after we gone and you heard this message and you heard about the computer chip and you heard about the head chopping and the guillotine, once you start hearing about that and it's demanded that you receive the chip, whatever you do, run like hell. Run like hell. I'm telling you in love. Run like
Amen.
Hell. Because if they catch you, right. you're going to have an alternative to receive the guillotine or you receive the mark of the beast. And if I was you, I'd put my faith in Jesus Christ and receive the guillotine. Because if you receive the guillotine and put your faith in Jesus Christ, guess what? The minute your head drops onto that basket, your soul will take flight into the glory of God. But the minute you receive that mark of the beast, you can have all the buying and selling you want. But one thing about it, you will never, 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 never be able to receive salvation. Your soul will be damned forever.
That's right, Bob.
Please, whatever you do, repent of your sins. Whoever listening out there, I know this sound kind of crazy and off the wall stuff, but this is Bible. This is God's word warning you and telling you. And if nobody ain't telling it but me and brother, what you call, I'm going to tell it anyway. The world
Amen.
Can be against me. The world can spit at me. The world can kick me. The world can do anything it want to with me. I'm going to tell you exactly whatever you do. Please don't go to hell. Come to Jesus Christ. You need him, whoever listening out there. You need him right now. If you're going to church and you're not hearing this, you need to say, Lord, save my soul now, because I don't want to believe nothing that you didn't say from somebody else. If you know your Bible and know Jesus Christ, if you don't know your Bible, you ask the Lord to give you strength to open up your eyes so you can see what to do if you miss the rapture, because so many people ain't going to know what to do. And I'm telling you what to do. The first thing you ought to do is repent. If you know you don't miss the rapture, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and tell him to save you right there on the spot. But the Bible says, whoever confess and call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is Elder Bazaar. This is Brother Tim Jackson trying to tell you something. We
Amen.
Love you out there. We want to see you
right.
get saved and sanctified. So when that trumpet blow, amen. Now pay attention. Pay attention to a Feast of Tabernacle. Feast of Pentecost. Amen. Because it's coming up in a few days. You know, we're next week, the 28th of May. Amen. The 28th. That's the day of Pentecost. That's when the church was born. And ever since then, The church has been on the earth, but after a while, it's getting ready to leave. Be there. If I don't see you here, I hope to see you in glory. Go ahead, brother, work it out.
Amen. Amen. All right, now. Good word. Good word. Amen. Back to the word. Amen. Brother, we've done what we can. We're going to continue to do what God has called us to do until either he calls us home or until he soon comes to get us, the church, to go back. Amen.
Yes,
amen.
No, brother.
Thank God for your word. Amen. Thank you for being here on the show with me. Amen. We will be back on the air tomorrow. Amen.
Yeah, 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. 5 o'clock. East Coast, 4 p.m. Central Time. And if you're on the West Coast, 2 p.m. Amen. Amen. Back to the word.
Amen, brother.
The word. Amen. The brother's giving some good words, some good scriptures. The time of Christ's return is unknown. Amen. I want to share this scripture with you coming from Matthew's the 24th chapter, verse 36 and 37. It says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of the heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
All
amen.
Right.
Brother say, amen. We have to wake up. Amen. People are going about the daily business, their daily lives, amen, as you should, but not without Christ, amen, amen. We
on,
live
preacher.
Our lives. We're not sitting in my room, amen, waiting for Christ to come back, or sitting in my backyard in a lawn chair, waiting for him to
amen.
Come back. I'm still living life, amen. But I am also watching. I'm also ready for him and preparing, because if he was to crack open that sky today, amen, amen.
Come
if he
on,
was
preacher.
To crack open that sky right now. And you best believe and better know, I would be ready to go back with the king. Amen. I know
come on,
the
preacher.
Elder, amen. He was to come back. He's ready for the king to return to get the church. As he said,
get the church.
All blemish. Amen. And
amen.
Only if you can have a seat at the table and be without a spot, wrinkle, or blemish. It's through the blood of Christ. You got to come through
Ooh.
Salvation. Like the brother said, you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Once you do that, that's all you got to do. Like the brother said, it ain't about works. We can't do no work. You can't work your way into heaven. Amen. You can't work your way. It's by grace and mercy. It's a free gift. Amen. You can't work your way into heaven. Amen. The only way to Christ is through the blood. Amen.
Through the blood,
amen.
Brother.
So, amen. You best believe it. Amen. So I want to call your attention back over to Revelation.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Yes,
Revelation, the 15th verse. Amen. I'm going to touch on a little bit what the brother said. Revelation 3 and 15 and 16. This is what it says. It says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wast cold or hot. Now, this is Christ talking. Now, why would he say that? What he's saying is, I'd rather you just, if you're going to be out in the world, if you're going to be cold, just go out in the world. Don't be posing in the church like you're a saint. Like the brother said, knowing that you're cold on the inside. You don't show no love. You ain't confess with your mouth. You ain't believe in your heart. You don't love nobody like the brother said earlier. Amen. If you say that you love God and hate your neighbor, man, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people on that day.
Woo!
A lot of disappointed people. You better believe, because you know, when
preacher.
I see, I go to church with some folks, they act like they're holier than thou in the church. But man,
in the
soon
church.
They get out of church, they don't want nothing to do with you. They don't want you. They don't want to bother you. I'm like, man, these are probably the saints of God. Amen. I've been in some churches, man, folks act so stuck up. That ain't the love of God. I don't care what nobody
that
does.
That ain't the love.
Don't lie, you ain't got no bad day every day. You ain't got no bad day every Sunday I see you. That's just you, and you ain't got the Spirit of God in your heart. You can't
come
possibly
on,
have the love of God in your heart, and you got folks that act that they don't want nothing to do with you. They look at you sideways. Amen.
Come on,
but
man.
Yeah, brother, you know how it is. Anyway, you been in touch with these so-called saints. Amen of God. They ain't saints. They ain't. They ain't no saints. Amen. Because the Spirit of God won't allow you to mistreat one another. That's just not the Spirit of God. Amen. That is the spirit of the devil. And this is what Christ is saying. I'd rather you just go on back out in the world. Go on back
Come
to
on.
The clubs and the bars and
Come on.
Just go and do your thing. Amen. Stop coming in the church acting like you love God when
yeah.
you don't love God because you don't even love your neighbor. You can't even stand the sight of some of the people that you're in church with. Amen. Some of these churches only got a handful of people, and you can't get along with nobody in the church.
Come
Lord
on,
Albert.
Preacher.
Amen.
Lord,
Birth, you better know it, brother. You know I'm telling the truth.
Are you telling the truth?
Amen. I still deal with it to this day. I said, Lord, do these folks not know that the coming of Christ is getting closer and closer? And they
every
still
day.
Act the same way? Yeah,
same.
Brother. Every day? Every hour?
Come on.
Amen. Every minute.
Every
Amen.
Minute.
You know, acting the same. They don't want to show
acting
no love.
The same.
They don't care about one another. They backbite, talking about one another. But they're supposed to love God. Amen.
They love God.
Verse 16 says, so then, because thou art lukewarm,
Come
and
on,
neither
preacher.
Cold nor hot,
Come on.
I will spew thee out of my mouth. Amen.
Come
the
on.
Understanding and interpretation of this scripture is that because thou art lukewarm, amen, because you are not cold, amen. In other words, you're not out really out there in the world, but you're not really a saint. He's saying
Come
that
on,
I
preacher.
See you out. In other words, I'd rather have nothing to do with you. Why? Because you're causing a stumbling block in the church. Amen.
Come on.
You got folks confused about Sabbath. Do you know how many people come to church and not got saved and didn't want nothing to do with church people or church anymore because of how church people, so-called church
people
act in the church? They were
yeah,
cold. They wasn't warm, wasn't loving. I've been to churches. The families come in. They come up for prayer and everything. We trying to preach and teach salvation, and you got some folks in the church that just look down on people. You can't
yeah.
see people like that. People can feel when you don't like them or when you mistreat them. Amen.
Come on, preacher. Come on.
That's not how we.
Uh-uh.
That's not what we're supposed to be like.
Uh-uh.
The church is supposed to be warm and loving and inviting. Show love. Show thank people for coming into the church. We want to appreciate people for coming into the church. And church is not a place for position and status, act like you better than everybody to
yeah,
look down
on
others.
On.
That's not your opportunity to look down and mistreat somebody. That's why a lot of people turn their back on the church and don't want nothing to do with church folk or the church, period, because the way that the church has treated. Like the brother said, amen, God ain't really totally happy with the church altogether for the past 2,000 years because you got so many false teachers, false preachers.
Teachers and liars,
amen.
Yeah.
You got folks. Amen. You got folks preaching. I had a preacher one time say, I heard somebody say, a preacher said, if you ain't part of the Church of God in Christ, he don't believe that you're going to heaven. No other church is going to heaven. I said, what type of mess? That you ain't saved by your denomination. Let's get that straight.
Sure.
First of all.
Your
affiliation, you was not saved by your denomination. Nor your affiliation or your denomination will not put you into the kingdom of God. That is not what saves you. You must humble yourself as a little child. You must be humble and come to God and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. God,
yeah.
I repent of my sins. I'm sorry for what I've done. Come into my heart today and save me. I want to be saved. I don't want to be lost, Heavenly Father. I don't want to be here when the great tribulation starts. I don't want to die and go to hell, and I sure don't want to go to the lake of fire and brimstone and perish all eternity. With all those demons and fallen angels and Lucifer and all the lost souls, all the screaming and hollering, you want to deal with that all for all eternity? Lord, have mercy. You would be surprised. Amen. You would be surprised at the people who have heard this gospel, heard these words, heard these things, and have scoffed at it, have
scoffed
laughed
at
it, and say, oh, that's a bunch of smoke and mirrors. I had a guy tell me once, oh, brother, that's a bunch of smoke and mirrors. I said, brother, I pray that you get saved so that you won't find out that it ain't smoke and mirrors, because I can guarantee you.
Come on, preacher.
It's going to be some smoke, but it ain't going to be no mirrors.
Sir.
It's going to be fire and brimstone. Amen.
Yes,
so you better get it right. Why you can? Why you still have this chance? Get your life right. Give your soul
Lord,
to God. Give your soul to Christ. This is the winning side.
Winning side,
amen.
Brother.
The winning side, amen. I'm going to get back to my scriptures, amen.
All right.
Get back to my scriptures. going back over to Revelation, amen, I believe I was at verse 1. Now I want to call your attention. Amen. I think I already read, yeah, I read it. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 36 through 39. I think I already read that. Amen. 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 Y'all already read that. Let's read Acts. Let's go to Acts, the first chapter.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And what we're dealing with is what is the church. Amen. Remember, Christ wrote Revelation to who? The church. And to reveal to the church the things that was going to happen in the latter day, because Christ knew it was going to take Jacob, Israel, to go into the tribulation, to turn them from the Antichrist and from them not believing that he is the Christ that have already come. See, the people who are Israel, they don't, Jacob, they don't believe that Christ has come. Amen.
Exactly.
They don't believe that they are the chosen. Some of them don't believe that they're the chosen people, because Israel's scattered all over the world. It ain't just over in the chosen land. Israel's all over the world. There are a lot of people who don't even believe that they're God's chosen people. But God's going to call them back after the church has been raptured. After the church is gone, God is going to open their eyes. See, and a lot of people are going to think, oh, this Antichrist is for us. Look at us. Hey, look at it. He's taking it for us. He's making laws that favor us, that's in our favor. We finally got a break. Amen. Jacob's going to believe we finally got a break.
Uh-huh.
But after that 23.5 years, he's going to turn his back. He's going to come after Israel. Amen. So this right here that I'm talking about is for the church. We're trying to get the church ready. Amen.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. We're trying to get the church ready. Acts, the first chapter, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 8, I believe it is. Let me get over there real quick. I have a hard time with my Bible today. Acts, mm-hmm. the first chapter. Acts 1. Well, give me some music.
All right.
There we go. Nothing like a glass of fresh, cool water. Amen. Acts the first chapter. Amen. Acts the first chapter, verse 6 through 8. This is what it says. It says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So remember, even though this is all in the books of Acts, what does this refer back to? Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 3, which is known as the Olivet Discourse. Let's go there real quick.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And you will see a parallel in Scripture of what the Scripture said. Matthew 24:3. What does it say? And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
What it said. And then what did Christ say? And then Christ said to them, he said, take heed. What did he say? He answered and said to them, take heed that what? No man deceives you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So you see the parallel in Scriptures. Amen. They wanted to know. Amen. He said, Lord, at this time, will you restore again the kingdom to Israel? Amen. They wanted to know something that was what? Going to be beyond their time. They wanted to know the same thing that Daniel wanted to know. When was this going to be? Amen. But it told Daniel what? Daniel, go and stand in your lot at the end. Amen. Go and rest. Go and sleep. Because in other words, it was telling Daniel, man, you got a long time to go before this comes, before this happens.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. You won't even be here. I mean, you'll be long sleeping in your grave. Amen. Remember, the saints is known as rest. Saints ain't dead. They are sleeping because if the saints are dead, amen, I mean, Christ is not risen. But we know that Christ has risen. So the saints are actually what?
Sleeping.
That's why Paul said, amen. Well, Paul referred to it as sleep, because the saints, amen, they out in the grave, they resting. What are they resting from, brother? Don't you know that every day that you stress, that you work, your body's weak.
Yes.
You don't know because when you're so used to it. It's kind of like when you have a sore. Like I have I had surgery on my knee, brother, and it gets sore. Sometimes my legs swell, and because that's not a normal thing, and because I've had it so long, it's become normal to me. But it's not normal. Amen. But
come on.
I just deal with the pains that I have in life. Amen. So it's the same thing with stress. We've just become so used to being stressed and blood pressure high and all this stuff going on.
Come on, man.
We just take it as just normal. Don't you know that that's not normal? Don't you know that if a child feel pain, he going to say, Mama, Dad, my arm, my leg hurt, because you want to know why? He's not used to it. It's not normal. Amen. But when you get old, you go through this life, you deal with work, you deal with being on your feet, you're abusing your back hurt, whatever it is. It becomes a normal thing. Don't you know that that's not normal? Did you know that it was not, God did not create man like that? We were created, what? In peace to rule and not have pain and suffering and stress.
Mm-hmm.
Adam didn't have all that before he ate from the fruit. Eve didn't have no pain, suffering, and stress before they ate of the fruit. Don't you know that every single day, all of day, look at Brother Bazaar. He's been on this earth almost for 80 years. Brother said he was cutting down some limbs, some branches, amen, still working. Amen. Don't you know that that's not what God intended for us to work and to toil and do? We only did that because of disobedience. God gave Adam rest. He gave Adam rest. He said, Adam, go and subdue the world. Adam had it easy. He ate fruit. Amen. He named the animals and the creatures of the world. Amen. He ruled the earth. The earth heals, amen. And that's what God is going to do when he come back in 1,000 years. He's going to restore man. In other words, he is, brother. When you die and leave this world, your body is resting from what? What is it resting from? It's resting from pain, stress, suffering, heartache, amen, disease, everything. That's right, for sure.
Everything.
You are
brother.
Resting in your grave. From everything, from every little thing, every little bit of stress, turmoil, people picking on you, mistreating you. And, bro, you know we deal with it the same. We get mistreated. People know when you're a child of God because you don't act like the rest of them. You don't cuss and carry out. You don't talk about people behind our back. You don't do all that silly stuff that the world do. So they know there's something different about you. Amen. I have people tell me all the time, well, there's something different about you. Amen. It's the Spirit of God. They know when you Israel. Amen. They know when you're God's chosen because you don't act like the rest of the world. And so sometimes the world want to give you a hard time for nothing. But God said, I'm going to give you rest. Amen. So I want to finish this verse right here. Amen. Verse 7 of Acts 1.
All right.
And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times all the seasons. Don't that language sound familiar? That sound like the same thing that Daniel was told. Amen. I believe it was an angel told. And you don't need to know. You go, hey, you will be long sleeping in your grave when this time comes. And don't you know, here we are now, 2,000, I think it was 2,600 years from Daniel, and now we are 2,000 years from Christ.
Exactly.
And here we are.
Yeah.
We're almost there. The question that the disciples asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? In other words, what the Israelites thought when Christ first came, they was expecting him to restore the kingdom to Israel.
Come on, preacher.
But he said, no, I came that you may have life and life more. But he came to save the world. He said, y'all need to be delivered. Amen. Talking about restoring the kingdom. Y'all need to be saved. Amen.
Yeah.
He came to save my soul. And now, soon, and very soon, after the tribulation, he's going to restore the kingdom to Israel. For 1,000 years, we're going to rule on this earth with Christ. Amen.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. Amen. See how much time I got left. I got to leave a little time.
Go ahead,
okay, I got a little time.
Go ahead.
Amen. Watch what it said. It said, it is not, verse 7, and he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. Amen. Now, we showed you in the verse that it is the power of God to say when he's going to send Christ to get the church. And then we will know after the church has been, what, raptured? We know.
We know,
but see, only God knows when he's going to initiate that. That's the one mystery in the history of time to where time is unaccounted. That's where it throws everything out because we don't know when it's going to end. Until Christ come back and get the church. And then we say, oh, now we know we got what? Seven more years.
Fix it, boy.
Then we're going to come back with Christ down to earth. He's going to put an eagle, make all his enemies his footstool. And then we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. Then after that 1,000 years, Satan's going to be loose for a little bit. And he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Then judgment, the great white throne judgment is going
come
to happen.
On, preacher.
Woo, man, this is some powerful stuff. This is smoking, brother. We preaching some
smoking
powerful stuff. And, man, you better know it. And then, let me show you something. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians.
Go ahead.
Fifth chapter. I got to show you something. 1 Thessalonians. The fifth chapter. There it is. God is good. It popped right open. 1 Thessalonians. Fifth chapter. Verse 1 and 2. Now, this is how you know that there's a separation between the church and Israel. In other words, what I'm saying is that the church won't be here going through the tribulation. Because
come on.
There's proof all in the Bible. It says, Christ said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. Now, you hear that, right? Time and what season. Now you hear the language. Now, watch what Paul said over in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. When it takes place, it ain't no need for the church to be concerned. We won't be here. Amen. They didn't need to know because why? Amen. Was alive in the grave. We won't go through this great tribulation. We will be what?
In heaven.
Amen. We will be
come
in
on,
heaven.
Preacher.
Amen. At the Bema seat and then at the Lamb's Supper. Amen. We
come
need
on.
To be here. Amen. We don't need to concern ourselves. That's what Paul was saying. What's with verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians and 5 saying? It says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
Yeah.
What is the day of the Lord? The great tribulation, that 7-year period. That's what it's referring to. You remember we talked about Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter, verse 7? And
yes, sir.
That day, amen, what is it talking about? It's talking about, he's referring, it says a day, but it's referring to the 7-year, the 70th week, Jacob's trouble.
Come on, preacher.
The great tribulation. The tribulation,
yes,
and the great tribulation. Lord have mercy. Come on now. Talk to me.
Come on.
Woo. The tribulation and the great tribulation. Lord have mercy. Amen. So what was Paul saying? What was Christ saying? You don't have to worry. Amen. You don't have to worry because you're saved. And if you notice right here, verse 8, Acts the first chapter, verse 8, watch what it concludes. Watch what it's going to go into what Christ said. Last, he said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Come on.
And
come
ye
on.
Shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, watch this. Now, this verse is very powerful because it's talking to Jacob, Israel. Then it's also referring to the church. Amen.
Yeah.
Because why? As Paul said, as Christ said, the times and seasons, amen, he told them, don't concern yourself with it, right? Amen. But then he said, but you shall receive power. Now he's referring back to who? Israel. He's referring to the church of Israel. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. He's talking to the church. And you shall be witnesses. What unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is prophecy. Amen. Amen. Don't you know that also goes for the what? 144,000. Don't
come
you know
on.
That the Holy Ghost is also going to be working? Because you want to know why? Uh-oh. Let me show you some more scriptures.
Come
amen. So folks, they both think I'm making it up. But you're going to turn back over to the brother. Go over to Second Thessalonians. Amen. Second Thessalonians, the second chapter. I gotta show you something.
Come on.
Amen. Second Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 7 and 8. Amen. No, I'm 6, 7, and 8. Verse 6 says, and know ye now what withholdeth. That's the Holy Spirit, that he might be revealed in his time. Amen. So right now, the Holy Spirit, the only thing is keeping the Antichrist and all this that's going to hit the earth for the 7 years of tribulation. But watch this. For the mystery of iniquity do already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, watch
all right.
This. Now, the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way to allow certain things to happen, to take place on the earth for the 7 year tribulation period. But he's not going to totally leave, because you want to know why?
Come on.
He's going to be
on.
There for the 144,000. Amen. Amen. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. See how the Bible, these scriptures, man, that scripture, it contains so much in just a few words. It just told you about about how it's going to be, that the wicked is going to be revealed. We're talking about the very first of the tribulation, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. That's at the very end of the tribulation. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That again,
come on, preacher.
At the very end of the tribulation. Doctor, this is some powerful stuff. I am praying for salvation for the folks. I'm going to turn back over to you, brother. Amen. We are praying for you guys. We are here not for no shape, form, or fashion. Amen. We don't get no money for this. Amen. We got our rewards coming in heaven. We just
come on, preacher. Come on,
don't
man.
You know
tell
the Bible said when one sinner repent, all of heaven rejoice. Don't you know that we get a good report when people get saved? Amen. That's what we want.
Amen.
Take it away.
Look at here, man. You bad. You bad boy for
that's
the Lord. I mean, I'm talking about good bad. You letting the devil know you done lost this case. You lost this case at Calvary. You lost this case and you was cast out of heaven. I'm talking to old Lucifer now. Amen. Don't you think he's got a telephone in hell? It's a hot phone, but he know what's going on topside. Amen. He's the principal of the air. He can hear my voice. He can hear brother, what you call voice? And he said he's trying to tell his angel now. We need to shut these boys up. Amen. Because they talking too much. They talking the word of God. That's the only way we can conquer Satan. That's the only way we can reveal the Satan is through the word of God. Because the word of God will show him out. And I'm letting you know now, brother, we're in that time now where 144,000, about you talking about the 144,000, and the Holy Spirit will drop back a little bit. It'll still be here because the 144,000 will be sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the two prophets will be sealed with the Holy Spirit, and they will preach for, what, a seven-year period. The 144,000 will preach the first 3.5 years, and the last 3.5 years, the two prophets will preach. And they will preach, and they will preach until they will preach, until the world will say, stop my ears. I'm tired of hearing about repentance. I'm tired of hearing about this Christ. I'm tired of hearing about the resurrection. I don't want no salvation. I want damnation. And guess what? If you want damnation, reject Christ. If you want damnation, reject Jesus Christ. Don't, whatever you do, don't reject Jesus Christ. Please don't reject the man. God gave his only son. God can't do one thing.
Right.
He can't get another son. God can't get another son. He only got one son. And that one son is him. He manifested himself in the flesh and came all the way down through 42 generations. And he didn't even stop at Jupiter. He didn't stop at Pluto. He didn't stop at nowhere but the third planet from the sun. He stopped at Earth. And since he stopped here, he dropped by down in Bethlehem of Judea, stayed here 33.5 years, gave up the ghost on the cross, and said, it is finished. And he's coming back again. And he ain't playing pinochle. He ain't playing bingo. He ain't playing hopscotch. He ain't playing with nobody. He ain't never played with man. He ain't never put him in a cradle and rocked him to sleep. He said, now I'm going to rock you. I want you to meet my rock. And Jesus Christ is the rock. And if you meet Jesus Christ, you standing on a solid rock. Don't be standing on them false religions. Don't be standing on that old crackpot preacher. Amen.
Amen.
Stand on Jesus Christ, because he's the only one
came
back from the grave with all power, heaven and earth in his hand. Now, you better bow down to him. And I say, bow down to Jesus Christ. If you bow down to Jesus Christ, you have a repentant heart and call on the name of the Lord out of a sincere heart, guess what? He'll save your soul.
That's right, my God.
You only got one soul. One soul. You ain't got two. You ain't got three. You ain't got no temporary soul that can go out. A lot of people think when they die, they just go and disappear. No, that's a lie. You ain't going to disappear nowhere. Rich man in hell didn't disappear. He might have disappeared on top of the earth. But he stepped out of hell and saw Abraham. And when he saw Abraham, he said, hey, give me some help. Abraham said, I can't help you. Don't be like that man. Don't be like that rich man. Don't be like him. Please.
That's right.
The Bible says Jesus Christ got open arms, and he's standing at the door in Revelation.
Right.
Last church, Laodicea. Brother Talk got Laodicea church. He's knocking at the door of your heart. He's knocking. Every day he's knocking.
Right.
And he's knocking. And you know what's a dangerous thing? When he stopped knocking, and there's a lot of people, God's been knocking on their hearts ever since they were born, and they haven't answered the door. They haven't answered. And they won't let Jesus come in. They say, man, I got too much living to do. Well, you ain't got no living to do at all, because the time you live is a short breath in the nostrils, and then you dead and gone.
That's right.
Man born of a woman has few days to live, and they're full of trouble. Life is so short. It's like a leaf on a tree. It's like grass that grows up and withers away and goes on with the dust. Don't go to the grave without Jesus with you. Don't go. Before you go to the grave, tell Jesus to come on into my life.
Amen.
And the only thing you got to do, Apostle Paul said, if you just confess with your big mouth, I can say that. It ain't in the scripture, but I'm putting it. I ain't adding none up. If you got a big mouth, you all talking about everything else. And
Amen.
You can talk about Jesus, everybody's mouth get quiet. You can talk about anything. Anybody got their mouth all wide, gapped open. But say something about Jesus, oh, they get quiet. Well, I ain't going to get quiet. Jesus is my all in all. And he can be your all in all. Apostle Paul said this. If you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible say, thou shalt be saved. And when he comes in, he might not come in like a whirlwind, but after a while, that whirlwind will stir up. You might not be flipping. You might speak in tongues. You might not do none of that. I would say, you know you passed from death to life because the love of God done entered into your heart. And you know that you belong to God, because you don't hate no more. And that's what God can do. Take all that hate out of you and put the love of God in your heart. Jesus Christ is coming back again. Somebody out there needs Jesus Christ. You can do this. You can lift up your hand right now wherever you are. Fall down there by the radio. If you're driving a car or whatever, stop on the roadside. Pull on the side. Bow your head and tell Jesus Christ, Lord, come onto my life, because the world is on its last leg. It's on its last leg. We're getting ready to get out of here.
Right.
World War III is on the verge. The speculation of the war is going over in Jerusalem, called the Ring of Fire. There's six nations right now trying to ransack Jerusalem.
Lord, that's
going to ignite World War III. And Russia right now is in trouble. They need some more men. They need more ammunition. They need more horses. They need more weaponry of non-proliferated atomic bombs, because they don't want to bomb Jerusalem. They want to march in and take the city. But they're a lying wonder. The Temple Mount, getting ready for the temple. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ is coming back again. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry that I've sinned against you. Lord, I confess with my mouth. Lord, I believe with my heart, the intent of my heart, that you actually, realistically, uniquely died for me.
Amen.
Was put in the grave and you got up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth in your hand, come on into my life right now and drive this whorish spirit out of me, this lying spirit, this backbiting spirit, this slothful spirit, this spirit of unbelief, and let me call on your name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Church, say amen. Come on back tomorrow night, 5 o'clock. We got some good stuff to talk about. We got some stuff to talk about that's really happening in our lives today. We can see it every day. God loves